Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, and so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Again?
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio hoping, longing for you to send stuff that is wretched to idea@wretched.org, and you can text 877-282-2337 with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. Go ahead, Jimmy.
What?
Read the stuff. It's fine.
Are you ready for me to move on? What's wrong with you?
The head cold's coming back. What is the deal? And I'm not the only one.
You have such a weak immune system.
See, that's what you start to think. And so what do? You go looking on. You got that? Okay, go. Ooh. It's like some comedian 100 years ago. You find a bump on your left elbow, and it's like, whoa, what is that? And so what do? You check the right elbow. Oh, okay. That's supposed to be there. That's what you do when you get, you got that? Okay, good. I'm getting the cold again. What's going on? Is it a summer deal? The allergies here have been brutal.
Yeah, this year.
But there's also a head cold thing happening, and it's got a lingering cough that goes with it. I just was reminded about Tamiflu. Now, I don't know about the efficacy of it, so you consult your own doctor. But when you start to feel this sort of stuff going on, you get the prescription for the Tamiflu. But it's got to be a prescription, and I ask why. Why does something that would stave off a cold and a flu have to be written out by somebody at the Minute Clinic? Which, by the way, I've been to those. It never takes a minute.
Ever?
It takes forever at the Minute Clinic. Please send stuff. idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, so our first, it's not a question, it's rather a comment, but I want to read it.
Good.
I know you'll agree with it.
I love, you know what? We don't hear enough comments.
Okay.
We want more comments. Fire away.
This is from Marion. Todd, why can't we just let go of coffee for a few hours on Sunday morning? Why do we need to be sipping coffee during the service? And in my opinion, coffee in the sanctuary is in some ways irreverent to God.
I don't think it's somewhat. I think it's totally inappropriate. I think it's wildly inappropriate. Can you bring in a bottle of water to make sure if you ever get a tickle? I get as a convenience. But what is coffee? It's consuming a beverage that presumably you really, really dig. You enjoy it. What does that mean? You're focusing on a tactile oral sensation as opposed to your brain being fully engaged in what it is that we are there to do. That's why I think that the seeker-sensitive movement has made such inroads. We forget what we are called to do when we assemble. It is not to be amused. It's not to be entertained. It's not to have our ears tickled or our coffee at the... Boy, they've got the best coffee out in the lobby, and I get a cup right before I go in. Why do you need a cup of coffee to make it through a church service? Why not bring in, I don't know, a New York strip with a baked potato? You'd say, well, you shouldn't be eating in church. Ding, 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 ding. By the way, have I promoted? I want to, if this whole ministry just falls apart, Jimmy, I know what I want to do for a living.
Okay.
I want to be a sous vide rep.
Oh, the
thing, the boiler, the French thing.
I've heard those are great.
Oh, man. We had some New York strips from the Costco. Massive amount of meat. We had meat coming out of our noses. Remember when the children of Israel, we want meat, we want meat. And God's response is, well, I'll give them meat until it's coming out of their noses. Like, oh, I don't eat meat anymore. That's how we felt after we ate Costco meat. We did it in the sous vide. You boil it. And then you sear it. Make sure that pan is hot enough. Make sure there's smoke coming off of that griddle. And then a minute, another minute on the other side. It'll be the best steak you ever have. And even though it's amazingly good, I wouldn't bring it into church. Why? Because I'm not there to eat. Not there to drink. I am there to hear from heaven through the preaching of the word of God, through the reading of his word, to talk to God, to bring him praise, the glory that he is due. Who needs coffee? When you're doing that, the problem is, I don't think we remember that we're doing that. And I think that that should be a consideration of every pastor to encourage their flock to remember when you come on Sunday morning, what you do there is not about you. It's not about, well, what did you think of the sermon today? What did you think of the music today? What did you think about the, that's almost, not entirely, almost irrelevant. We're not there so that we can make it through an hour or an hour and a half. We are there to do something awesome, and it doesn't require coffee. We're going to be singing a hymn this week. Thankfully, it has a melody. It's almost like the doxology. And I've shared these lyrics before. I don't have them in studio right now, but it's the law-gospel distinction. The law of God is good and right. I think that's the name of it. And it teaches us about the distinction between the law and the gospel. So it's something like, the law of God is good and right. It shows me my sin as dark as night, but it's the gospel that shines the light, cleanses me from my sin, and ushers me into the kingdom of God. Okay, that doesn't rhyme at all, but every verse is about, here's the law, there's the gospel, and forever they must stay separate. They must stay separate. That, by the way, is going to be the sermon this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, that we keep the law and the gospel separate. And that music is intended to help us get that. It is so crucial. Maybe I'll share some of this next week. Keeping the law distinct from the gospel, it's a game changer. If you biff on that a little bit, you're going to feel it in your walk. So right now, I would say to you, if there's something in your Christian walk that feels like you're limping and not sprinting, there's a really good chance, not a definitive chance, but a really good chance you might be biffing it on remembering what the law and the gospel is. There's a distinction. And the hymn that we'll be singing, which should be singable for our folks because it's a familiar melody, is it requires thinking. It requires deep... Huh. When is that gonna...
How's your tea?
It's not steeping very well. Anyway. The hymns. The law. The law gospel. That's what happens. You got to focus. You got to think. Why? Because God fills our head until it overflows to our heart. And when we're distracted by lesser things, what a tragedy. Thanks for the comment, 877-282-2337.
So let's digress a moment. What do you sear your steak in after you get done sous-viding it?
There's options for that. You can really just put it right on the griddle if you want to. You could also just use the butter that was in the bag that you probably used because you boil it in water, which is really quite disgusting. You've got to sear it.
Yeah, it turns out
great. So you can do that. You can use butter. You can use a light oil underneath it. All of that,
I've heard grape.
But you got to hit it hard.
I've heard grapeseed oil, but I've never had it before.
I think that's because of the temperature where it breaks down is kind of the issue. That's the problem with butter, but oh man, does it make it taste good. Get the seasoned salt from Costco. You'll need a yak to carry it out for you, but it's the season you put it on. Here's the sous vide thing, because I'm just practicing my sales pitch, because in case the ministry goes, I need a gig. And I want to be working on commission with this thing because I'm that passionate. You put the meat in a bag and you can put whatever it is that you like inside of it. You seal the Ziploc bag and you dunk it in water for whatever the time demands at a particular temperature. It'll never cook past that. But you don't want to eat it like that. Unless, of course, it's chicken going into a chicken salad. You haven't lived till you've had sous vide chicken salad. But then you got to take it and sear it. And I'm telling you, we didn't sear it hot enough last time because Mrs. Friel has an issue with the stink that it makes in the house because the smoke goes up. And by the way, who invented the vent hood where all it does is suck up most of the smoke to merely disseminate it more broadly at the top of it? Hello, there should be a tube going outside. That's where the smoke belongs. 877-282-2337.
So, oh my goodness. This is from an 18-year-old college student.
You can do it, Jimmy.
Okay, this is from Ashton. I'm an 18-year-old college student who's aspiring to go into the mission field. I understand that to be a missionary, I need to be an elder qualified man. However, throughout my entire life, even after I was saved, I've struggled with lust and pornography. I've grown in self-control and faith, but I still battle with it. Does this make me unqualified for eldership / missions?
Yes. Definitive. Yes. That would be a big stop right there. Get yourself under control. I think that also holds to marriage. If you're still looking at it once a week, whatever, you're not qualified. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah. You gonna drink?
Right?
You gonna drink coffee during the radio show?
Tea. It's tea today. It's throat coat. Did I mention the head cold came back with a little bit of a vengeance? Yeah.
You know, we've started.
Yeah.
So?
I got tea.
Okay.
Okay? Wait, I'll tell you what, Jimmy.
Yeah?
Why don't you just talk about, like, something?
Talk about something? What do you want me to talk about?
Whatever.
Just give me a subject. I'll talk about it. I can talk about anything.
I'll listen while I'm drinking my tea. It's fine. That's what we do to the pastor in church. You just keep talking. I'm tracking with you. It has no place in the sanctuary, especially during worship. I gotta confess, I don't even like coffee going into the sanctuary, period. Even if church isn't going on, I know that there aren't holy places unless God says that's a holy place. But how's about setting it apart for something distinctive? And we don't treat it like a cafeteria. It's not a sin if your church, it's a multifunction, multi-purpose kind of affair. I get the utilitarian nature of that. I get the financial reasons for that. But wow, for the days when church, I remember when I was a kid, and this would have been 7th, 8th grade, because that's the first time I went to church. You didn't cut through the sanctuary. You never went in there. So when we were memorizing Bible verses on Wednesdays, if you had to get to the other, you go around. And it wasn't even questioned. Now, is it somehow that you are going to be set on fire if you walk through the sanctuary when you're not supposed to be in there or we're not doing worship? No. But it was an understanding that's a special place. Why? Because we do a special thing. We worship God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I just don't think coffee has any place in it. This is Wretched Radio. You can send comments. Jimmy, I got a comment thing sent to me.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't. Somebody's been sending me cartoons. I've been getting funnies sent to me. Can you see this through your monitor
there? Yeah, I can see that.
What is that?
The Woke Scouts of America merit badges.
Yeah, though, would you like to hear the badges that they're giving out at the Woke Scouts of America?
I would love to.
Painting for graffiti on a George Washington statue. For camping, for squatting on an Ivy League campus, they qualifies for that. For deflating pickup truck tires, because that helps with climate change, that's a good bet. Swimming. For identifying as a girl, then winning by half the pool. But that's not the one. How to write good.
How to write.
Yeah, because grammar, kind of a thing for me. So this is how to write good. You know you're a grammar Nazi if your head just exploded. Avoid alliteration always. That's a good rule right there. Prepositions are not words to end sentences with. That's how to write good right there. Avoid cliches like the plague, their old hat. Number 4, comparisons are as bad as cliches. Number 5, be more or less specific. Number 6.
That's hilarious.
It really is, isn't it? Don't be redundant. Don't use words more than necessary. It's highly superfluous. Who needs rhetorical questions? You got to answer that if you're going to write good. And finally, exaggeration is a billion times worse than understatement. So there you have it. Here to help. Send in whatever you want to idea@wretched.org. Speaking of cartoons, Gary, you know what? I've never known where his accent goes. Gary Varvel, you've probably seen his comics. I think he was at the Indianapolis Star for like 20 years as the in-house cartoonist. Really, really, really talented guy. And I can't believe it. He said, yeah, I'll make some sketches for your new book called Play the Man, which isn't available at wretched.org right now because we don't know what we're going to do with it. That is we got a conundrum going on. I wrote about a 20,000 word book. It's called Play the Man, to help men turn their eyes up to something loftier, to something grander, to something more transcendent, to something more noble. to give them a different view of their God, their master, and themselves. And I think it's really helpful. Duh. Otherwise, I wouldn't have written it. But I think it's really helpful. And we want to just disseminate it as widely as possible. So we're kind of just thinking about giving it away. Please let me take that back if plans change. But I what we thought about is making up cards with a QR code with something really provocative on it so that you could take it to a campus and just give it to a male. Hey, you might want to read this. Hey, don't know if this is an issue for you, but here you go. And they can just hit it with their phone and they can read it on their phone because we'd like to see millions of men read this. Because millions, perhaps billions of men? All right, what was the Brazil, the people in Brazil, I think, a people group that was way out in the boondocks and they didn't have a cell service. They didn't have internet. So thanks to Elon Musk, his satellite dealie, Bob, they were able to get the internet. And at first it was greeted with cheers because, wow, we've got family and friends we get to communicate with. Wow, a year later, why is everybody looking at porn? Why are the kids so lazy? That's what it can do to you. And so the men that are caught in this bondage, not an addiction, this bondage, they need to have the chains broken. And Gary Varvel is actually doing illustrations. And I just saw one this morning. Awesome. So good. It happens to be a picture of a guy just doing like this big swan dive off of the side of the cliff. And the sign on the side of the cliff says porn, arrow down. Because that's the man who dives into porn. There's two types of men who look at pornography. There's the diver and there's the faller. The faller is one who's like, I don't want to do it. I hate this. It's a sin against my God. Ah, I did it. That's the faller. He's the man who is not 100% safe, but probably safe. The guy who dives, yeah, my wife is going to be gone at this time, and I'm going to send the kids down the street, and they never come back within 2 hours, so I'm going to be able to look at porn. He's the diver. He's in big trouble. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget texting 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from John. Todd, I work a retail job where the company supports the LGBTQ agenda, but they have not required us to participate or support in any way. But I do also struggle on whether working there, I might be sinning.
Well, attitudinal stuff aside, is working at a place that endorses sin a sin? And the answer to that is most of the time not, because you're not going to find a company where there is not sin somehow connected to the organization, if not thoroughly enmeshed in it. So we're in the world. We don't separate from the world. We don't go the monastic route. We're here to be salt and light. So you're going to work at a place where sin happens, or the organization uses their profits to support sinful organizations. Do I like it? No. Would I tell you you have to quit if you work at that place? No. Unless, and this, please, I've noticed with a lot of these Brave New World issues lately, I'm reminded that time sometime is needed, because I think that we tend to look for, here's your position on an issue. It's gonna resolve every issue. Well, it usually doesn't. For instance, I think about the church and state, how that works, and if you've got that straight and where you're at on that spectrum of understanding Christian liberty, Christian nationalism, NLNR, no matter which system you have, somebody's always going to be able to peck at it and go, yeah, but what about that? And I think we're seeing that a lot, which means we probably need some more time to really intensely think these things through. You're working at an organization that does sinful stuff. You could get so close to it in participating in it that you're actually contributing directly to it and are therefore sinning. And you say, well, what about that? See, that's the... So that would be the principle that I would give. You can work at a company. You have to work at a company that is involved in this stuff. But you need wisdom in understanding that your job isn't directly contributing to that. And if it's an organization, for instance, they do no good. I would say, what are you doing there? But if you can contribute for the betterment of humankind, to be the milkmaid that provides milk for God's children, then you can be there. But if you are working so closely to it, okay, they've got the rainbow clothing. I don't think there would be a problem. You're the cashier. You just send it through. I don't think that's a problem. What about you are the mannequin dresser? And that's why you need wisdom. And the best place to find that is in the context of your local church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Our top story comes from NASA today. And while the NASA organization may have put a man on the moon, they seem to be focused on other priorities. But isn't everybody during the month of June? Yeah, the space agency, which receives $25 billion, that's with a B, dollars in taxpayer funds every year, recently unveiled a pride collage made with space imagery to celebrate Pride Month. And that's not even the worst part. The worst part is the caption that they used when they posted the photo on social media. How do you draw a pride flag, they asked, with science. Just remember, though, they put multiple people on the moon. In other news, recent attempts to paint a rainbow crosswalk in Huntington, West Virginia hit a few bumps in the road days after the colorful crossing was completed as a symbol of Pride Month. It appears some disgruntled local folks took it upon themselves to do some unplanned road maintenance. And you know, while vandalism is never the answer, it does highlight the cultural divides that are still very much present in all parts of the country. Turning to California, a disturbing story out of Oakland. A 77-year-old homeowner was arrested on suspicion of murder after shooting an armed burglar who broke into his home. Rewind that and listen to it again. This criminal was wielding a crowbar and was one of three suspects who drove a stolen car to the elderly man's house. The homeowner managed to hold the other two assailants at gunpoint until police arrived, only to find himself hauled off to jail for defending his life and property. The fact that this happened in California should tell you all you need to know. And finally, in news that will make you probably want to start drinking, though I'm not advocating for that, so please don't. Charges have been dropped against a California elementary school teacher who was arrested for instructing her second grade class while having a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit. Why were charges dropped against this lady, you ask? Well, apparently it's not illegal to teach drunk in California. It's only illegal to protect yourself from a home invasion in California. But it's not illegal for teachers to teach your second grade children absolutely smashed. The teacher, who blew a .19 after being removed from her classroom, was initially charged with DUI, because she had to drive to work, didn't she, and child endangerment. But the DA says those charges just won't stick since there's no proof she actually drove to school intoxicated or put the kids in direct danger, despite being three sheets to the wind and responsible for a room full of seven-year-olds. Just when you thought you heard it all. But again, it's California, folks. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to be encouraged? This is Wretched Radio. You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church, they hold weekly, think of them as Awana clubs, to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs. And if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, 1,000 is the number of Tomorrow Clubs. They just reached 1,000 of these clubs, and they are all run locally by volunteers under the authority of a national leader to make sure that nothing goes wonky. Amazing. Just think of this. Just think of this. In Ukraine is the dominant place. So they probably have, let's call it 900 Tomorrow Clubs in Ukraine. So once a week, 900 villages, 900 towns, kids are gathering and they're hearing the law. They hear the gospel. They hear the R word, repentance and faith. That's encouraging. And I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. And after you become a ministry partner there, you can send wretched stuff to us, idea@wretched.org, or text away at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jim. Todd, a lady I work with was upset over her sick dog. Someone left a note on her desk, a post-it note that said, "Jesus loves you." She wasn't too happy about that. She went to human resources complaining. And me, being the resident Christian, was blamed. I was called into the office, told that I must not discuss religion or politics at work. The guy that actually wrote the note was given a day off without pay. Can they do this? Can they legally put a gag order on me?
Yes. Yeah, they can. It's their company. It's their rules. It's private. That's why I don't think evangelizing in malls is wise or right. They own it. They're trying to do something there. And if they have rules, then you either work there or you don't. But you do have every right to go outside of those doors. You do have the right during breaks or during lunch to do it. It's legal, but it gets a little dicey when it comes to the break room at lunchtime because you're not on the clock, but you're in their property. You're on the grounds. And the purpose of that law is that they don't want it talked about really ever. So you need to be mindful of that. But I think that we need to accept we live in this world, sadly, that is clearly now negative. That is a perfect illustration of a negative Christian world. Because 50 years ago, when it was more of a positive attitude toward Christianity, somebody who complained about Jesus loves me would have been like, "Yeah, okay, thanks for that. We'll get back to you. How's their performance? Can we get rid of this person, Jesus? Because now you're a Christian, you get tattled on for writing Jesus loves you." Woo. 877-282-2337.
Yeah, I think 50, 60 years ago, companies, bosses, businesses wanted Christians working for them. They had the better work ethic.
That's right.
Yeah, now it's...
It's not.
No.
No, that I'll tell you, that is one way, though, clear, and I think 1 Peter supports this. Being a great worker is a way to evangelize and win people. If you happen to be a Gen Zer, the work ethic of your generation, I'm not saying everybody, but I just saw another poll. I think it was like 4%. 4% of managers think that it's good working with Gen Zers. Got to tell you, that you are swimming upstream as a Gen Zer who's got a strong work ethic, because you're going to get broad brushed with all of them. And I'm sorry for that. But you could also be a stellar standout. You're a hard worker. You actually get there early and not just like hit the clock and then get to your desk, make your coffee, lounge around a little bit, have a little chit chat. No, man, you're Johnny on the spot. You get to it. You are there. You get her done. In fact, what else do you need to get done, sir? What else do you need? Madam, I am on it. I'm going to get it done, and I'm going to get it done well. Do you need me to stay late? Rock on. Let's do this thing. First of all, you're going to rise. You're going to make more money. Second, you're going to be a witness. Because they will definitely want to know, what is it? Why are you so different? Seriously, if this is not 1 Peter 3:15, that happens to be underneath the government persecution, that you respond in a loving way so that they ask about the hope that lies within you. But I think that that is really That's probably the linchpin verse in 1 Peter 1 through 5. It's that you are living in such a way as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that people ask, sup? And you can do that at work. So, Gen Zer, work hard. It could lead to somebody getting saved. By the way, Jimmy, did I tell you we've concluded, we got her done. Although I have to confess, I'm a little bit conflicted on the inside. All of the podcasts that we have here, I just noticed they're one word. Okay, so it's wretched.
Yeah.
There's transformed.
Right.
Thrive. That's Brad Bigney. We don't want your home to survive. We want it to thrive.
Integrated
with John Kratz. And then with Adam Tyson, it's... You haven't heard yet.
You told me yesterday.
Let's see if you can get it, Grasshopper.
I've got Lee's. The Way of Manhood.
That's it right there.
Yeah, I could not remember.
That's it right there. And we'll be starting that in the fall. Cannot wait to launch it all for the edification of, well, you and the local church. Our ministry is changing in a good way, which, you know what, that should be an encouragement too. That should be an encouragement. I don't think anybody's ever accused us of being liberal. And yet, thanks to our gospel partners, we're growing, we're building, we're trying to put something in the ground that stays for decades, that influences broadly. So we're adding 8 new voices. Can't wait to unleash that and have you enjoy it for free. We had a question to ask. No. Somebody asked a question and we had a question to answer. That's how the sentence should have been structured there. Because I can write good.
We really can
write good.
Just learned how.
You got that right. Are we going to charge for the app where we've got hundreds, maybe thousands of hours of resources? And look, if a ministry does that, bless their hearts. And I don't mean that in a Southern sarcastic way. That's what they choose to do. We chose not to. We just want it out there. In fact, we're making plans for next year to disseminate it even more widely, globally, for the sake of local churches. So we're going to be exploding that in the fall, and we truly hope that it is a blessing to you. By the way, we do have a matching gift campaign toward that effort, wretched.org/donate, wretched.org/donate. That's your cue right there.
Oh, and send your questions. 877.
I think we all get how it works.
Yeah, I know, but I need the cue.
But I need a shorter cue. I'll tell you know what? Here we go. So you can support us in our matching gift campaign, wretched.org/donate.
Oh, that's it. Okay, so Todd, this is from
Jimmy.
A text from Anonymous. Todd, help. My two sisters are converting to the Episcopal Church.
Oof.
How do I approach this subject?
Why are they doing that? Ask questions. That yesterday, I guess, when we were listening to Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan, Joe Rogan said, well, because evolution is true, and Tucker Carlson said, is it? Ask questions. No, evolution isn't. It's stupid. Let me explain to you why. Let's go to YouTube and Answers in Genesis. Okay, well, you can do it that way if you like, but asking questions to undermine and dismantle and to have a conversation that is gentlemanly or ladylike, ask questions. Why would you go to the Episcopalian denomination? What is it that attracts you to that? What teaching inside of evangelicalism are you rejecting? And my guess would be, this is just, there would be two reasons that I'd be listening for bowie carefully. Number one, they're going all liberal. The rainbow business, they just think that evangelicals just a little too uptight. God isn't that clear on this subject. The second reason might be the formality of it. That is a big deal these days. I'm telling you, pastors shouldn't be those who have this deep understanding of cultural trends, but we do want to be wise as serpents so that we can reach people. Right now, the trend in society is They're tired of silly. They're tired of fluffy. They're tired of base. They're tired of dumb. They want something bigger. They want something higher. They want something lofty. They want something transcendent. They want church to feel different. And so it is. People are running to Episcopalianism, Roman Catholicism, and Eastern Orthodoxy. Now, we can ignore that trend, or we could ask ourselves the question, could we perhaps be showing people that we have a transcendent God in our worship service? This is Wretched Radio.
All right, listen up, folks. I've got some exciting news for you, because if you've been looking to share the gospel and make a real impact, then we've got the perfect thing for you at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Of course, you've heard about our gospel booklets. First, there's Are You a Rotten Fish? Perfect for helping you spot the difference between true and false converts. Next, we've got Don't Stub Your Toe. This booklet makes evangelism a breeze. But wait, there's more. The Man Who Split Time proves once and for all that Jesus is God. 22 proofs in this booklet that will have even the most skeptical of skeptics scratching their heads. And last but certainly not least, 13 reasons why you should not commit suicide. So what are you waiting for? Head over to wretched.org and stock up on these life-changing gospel booklets. Your friends, your family, and even complete strangers will thank you for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Gospel booklets available now at wretched.org.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Adam Tyson, one of the new 8 voices that will soon be joining this ministry, creating content to speak to this brave new world we're living in. Dr. Tyson is an adjunct professor at the Masters University. He's also a pastor with a doctorate of ministry from the Masters Seminary. Dr. Tyson brings expertise in biblical counseling and pastoral ministry, and his passion for teaching and mentoring the next generation is evident in his work with Gen Z men. And your support can help us bring more voices like that of Dr. Adam Tyson to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today, where every dollar you give to this new initiative will be doubled. Visit wretched.org/fellows for more information and see how you can make a difference. And together, we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Note to self, bring home the memory stick after church on Sunday. This is Wretched Radio. I would love to share this with you right now in light of what I believe is the current trend. That doesn't mean we make our church what is trendy. We should make our church service what is most pleasing to God. And for the most part, evangelicals have watered and dumbed it down almost until just complete inanity. It's just worthless chaff. And I don't think people want that. A lot of people do, don't get me wrong. A lot of people need the amusement on Sunday morning. But a lot of people who are a bit more earnest are like, this should really look different. This should sound different. And so at Alpharetta Bible Church, we endeavor to do that, to make sure that we are communicating, perhaps without even saying it, that our God is high and lofty and good and worthy of our praise. And we should do this not just decently and in order, but reverentially. And yet, there's another ditch that can easily be fallen into, and that would be the ditch of a high clerical, liturgical, dead sort of we all look at that and go, that actually is dead because it's lifeless. And yet what we don't want is, hey, church, by the way, I think it's the video maybe we're releasing today. I don't know. One of these days on the YouTube machine. We're talking about the trend in churches. I believe it was about pastoral. What was it about? At any rate, it was the one that we already launched. It was on AI and pastors who cheat. And I thought, well, just imagine if the pastor came out into the platform and admitted that they didn't do any work for what they're about to serve up to you. And so I was joking that the pastor comes out and goes, hey, church. And I said, quote, which is the way that most evangelical churches start their services these days. Hey, how's about the band? Woohoo, Vikings. And we wanted to go find a clip to insert it. Found it on the first try. Dude comes walking out. Hey, how's church by the glade? Oh. So I'd like to share with you Jason Allen. He's one of the pastors at Alpharetta Bible Church. He's also the director of our fellows program that we're launching. He's leading that. You're gonna meet Jason Moore. You're gonna dig this guy. Jimmy, you don't like anybody else here, but you do like him.
I don't like Jason. He's got the best beard in the place.
That's true. He does have that.
Do not like that.
Kind of like the Vicks coffee dude, or cough drop dude is what it looks like with that sort of beard. He leads the liturgy on Sunday morning. And I don't know if he's cognizant of it, but he finds that balance of sharing big thoughts, using really colorful words to describe our God and his goodness. And it's reverential, but it's not that, thus saith the Lord. Now, he actually said that last week after reading, it was the Old or New Testament verse. He said, thus saith the Lord. And then typically in old liturgical churches, some churches would say, thanks be to God. Now, we didn't do that because I think most folks maybe just aren't even aware of that, or they didn't think that it was appropriate because it wasn't in the bulletin. But he said that, and it didn't come across as being vain religion. He has that balance where you can speak highly about God while not seeming so distant. So, you're the holy guy, I guess, because you talk like that. There are some denominations, their homilies sound the same. I don't know if they have courses in seminary. We find our reading this morning in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. The prophet Isaiah is calling people on behalf of God. Well, what is that? I don't know what it is, but it doesn't seem natural. And I think it needs both. I think it needs to sound real and reverential. You can tweet that if you want to. It needs to sound real and you know what I'm saying. And I think Jason does a bang-up job. We'll try to bring that in next week. I think you're going to go, oh, that's interesting. Huh. Does my church have that balance? Now, is it easy to fall on either side and lose your balance? Sure it is. Are we a perfect church? No, we're not. But that's what I think we should be striving for. High, holy, and genuine. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or tweet away, text away. Use your phone to send stuff to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Russell. Todd, how long should we continue praying for the salvation for those most stubbornly hard-hearted false preachers who are simply showing no sign of repentance, despite being prayed for decades. Mm-hmm. When is it okay to start praying for their destruction instead?
Yeah, we need to be guided, I think, in part by imprecatory psalms and Matthew 10, believe it or not, and with Paul's encouragement to pray without ceasing. We should be praying for the people that are in our circle and even globally that they would get saved. And I think that we need to do what Jesus said. You keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. But I do believe that there can come a time where you go, I'm moving on. I'm just moving. And by the way, that has to do even with evangelism, and it has to do with praying for the salvation of somebody. Where do I get that from? Jesus is telling the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, I'm sending you out as a sheep among wolves. And you're going to go into these towns. You find somebody who's amenable to what you have to present to them. You stay with them. You set up shop with them. But if they turn on you and if the town turns on you, you'd leave. You just leave. Now, I would not say that we need to put some sort of clock on this. Well, was it a day? They didn't ask Jesus. So 4 hours? Were the 2 hours? I get to leave. They determined, look, this ain't going nowhere. And Jesus gives them permission to leave and stop witnessing to them. Furthermore, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, he lets us know that sometimes they're swine. They're these rabid dogs, and you shouldn't be casting your pearls before them because they're going to hurt you. That would be another criteria. Are they going to hurt you? Well, you can skedaddle. My point is that I do believe that you individually, guided with your conscience, can make decisions about how long you pray for an individual or even keep witnessing to somebody. And so this doesn't sound like, oh, well, am I giving up on somebody? Well, I guess you could look at it that way. I prefer to look at it and go, hey, the hours are short here. You've got great news. You've got amazing news. Get it out there. And if somebody is just bogging you down, you've told them 1,000 times, you've prayed for them 1,000,000 times, nothing is happening, then pray for somebody else. You have permission, or go witness to somebody else because the hours are short. The sand in the hourglass, it's getting a whole lot shorter on the top than it is on the bottom. So you can pray for somebody for as long as you want to. And don't feel guilty if you've concluded, Lord, I just want to spend my energy and my time praying and witnessing to somebody else. Be guided by your conscience on that. It's okay. You have that liberty. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
No, I was just thinking. I've got a job review coming up. And you know the question you ask me every year?
Are you going to quit this time?
What can I do to make you happy? So is it okay to ask you, that's what I'm gathering from your answer here. Is it okay if I ask you, in order for me to remain happy, for you to make Jason shave his beard? Can we do that?
Well, for you, Jimmy, we fight the bull, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. At what point in a marriage does the husband's loving self-sacrifice become excessive capitulation or enabling a me-first mentality?
Yeah, here, we work on commandments. We regularly create principles, and the application of them sometimes can get a little tricky. So you should be a husband. I should be a husband who does my job. What's my job? To be a spiritual leader, a protector, a provider, but also a nurturer, a cherisher, one who delights in my spouse. That's what we're called to be as men. And so with that, you don't have to walk around with your chest out, leader's home. Okay, you don't want that. But at the same time, you don't want to go all the way over to, you know what? Hey, honey, if you want to sleep till 3 o'clock every day while the babies are crying and things don't get, I understand. Well, that's just capitulation for the sake of peace. That's why you should get Ken Sandy's book, The Peacemaker. And you'll find that balance, where you are strong, you are meek in that you have your strength under control, you're trying to nurture, But you're not getting all complacent and wishy-washy, and that is an ongoing balance that every single husband should seek to find. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.